teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and we have a real treat today. Matt Stevens, the Illini guy's beat reporter, staff reporter, the man who covers the football program, went to the Illini Pro Day yesterday. And while other people in the Illini covering media were over in Indianapolis watching the Fighting Illini lose to the Indiana Hoosiers, Matt was one of a few folks who were covering the Illini Pro Day. So that is a fantastic get for the Illini guys, because he was one of the few media members who was there to document the whole thing. Matt, it's been a while since the Illini have had a lot of activity on Pro Day, or even had a lot of a little bit of hype going on Pro Day. Can you explain to the fans what the Pro Day is and how it's scheduled, a little bit of the basics on it?
Well, Mike, if you like football players doing track and field stuff in their underwear, like, Pro Day is for you. Basically, it's that we're now at the point in the NFL season, because as we all know now, Mike, it's a 12-month sport. Yes. We are in the talking season of the NFL calendar, and what that means is that we're all focused now on the draft, and in less than a month or in about a month, we will have the NFL draft. But scouts and pro personnel departments now are going all over to colleges and working out players. And Pro Day is a way for players, but essentially who did not get invited to the NFL scouting combine, which happened last weekend in Indianapolis, to get in front of pro scouts for not only interviews, which happen actually the day before the workouts, and or the morning of the workouts, and then get a chance to put numbers down on paper for what I call track and field events, which include, you know, the 40-yard dash, the vertical leap, the broad jump. They do all that in front of pro scouts in the bleachers. And then at Illinois, they do it inside the Irwin indoor facility, which is connected to the Smith Center. And so there were 31 NFL pro personnel people that were 34 franchises that just sent scouts and pro personnel people to Champaign on Friday. And, but it also allows another opportunity for guys like a Kirby Joseph, like a Verdarian Lowe, and like a Blake Hayes, who were actually invited to the scouting combine, to decide whether or not they want to do the track and field events. Or, and then the other thing that makes it a little bit unique for me, for a pro day potential, is they also do really short individual positional drills that are, and all of these are led by, you know, a certain NFL scout who had come. They run the drill. Okay. And so the guys don't know what they're going to do in terms of the drills. They know exactly what they're going to do for every pro day is the same in terms of the track and field events and then the bench press, but the positional drills are run by the NFL guys. And the it's interesting to watch, like, the coaching staff all shows up, but they have no impact on how these guys, you know, do these drills anymore. So it gives pro guys an indication, not only with numbers on paper and on track and field events, but also with their eyes, how they look in certain individual drills and individual skill sets. Of course, they're not going against an opposition in these drills, but they get a sense of athletically how they can look.
Okay, that's really neat. So they've probably done the drills before, but they don't know which drills are going to be done, and they don't know the nuances of maybe what this individual coach might be looking for.
If they've seen a pro day or their people have seen a pro day, they probably know what the individual drills are going to be, or in some way, shape, or form. But it's not a situation in which, yeah, they're giving out a schedule. It's also interesting, for, at least to football geeks, that this is an opportunity for Tank Wright to kind of show what he's about as the strength and conditioning coach at Illinois, because for the track and field event stuff, he is the one that kind of runs everything. And he's the guy that if you watch the video that's on Illini Guys on our message boards right now, he's the guy that's, you know, spotting them in the bench press, you know, conducting their 40s, and making sure everybody kind of goes through the process the way it is. So normally at Illinois, it's been about trying to get unknown guys, you know, looks. And for the first time in a while, Illinois has some known quantities that we're able to at least do a couple of things and then talk to a whole bunch of NFL guys while they were there inside Irwin yesterday. And I was able to, along with a couple of other people, witness, you know, the kind of the buzz that's kind of around certain players that I'm sure we'll get to.
Okay. And then the other question I had is, sure, do the Illini staff get a chance to kind of talk to those scouts as well, where they could obviously develop relationships, obviously for future prospects, but also talk up or answer any questions about the guys that the NFL scouts are looking at today?
Absolutely. And that either happens while Pro Day is going on, the morning before Pro Day, or they just kind of exchange numbers and they'll call. I know for a fact that Brett Bielema has a lot of relationships with obviously the Patriots and Giants people, but he was also talking up the Bears scout who's been doing this for over 30 years. And so that came to Champaign. So they have communication. I know that Kevin Kane and Ryan Walters were talking with NFL guys about, you know, certain players and how, what their development. Ryan Walters is getting a lot of chatter from NFL guys, specifically about Kirby Joseph. I'm sure we'll get to that because Kirby was in his specific position room. But yeah, there were guys that were talking with, you know, Brett about, you know, Verdarian Lowe. And then Bart Miller was there talking about, you know, Doug Kramer and Jack Bogoviak. And then if they had some questions about Velo. So yeah, that chatter is happening, whether it's in real time or they're exchanging numbers and going back when they finally get back to their offices, that those things are constant and are happening. Brett Bielema is having discussions daily, if not hourly, with NFL people about Kirby Joseph. So, okay. Absolutely. Those things happen.
Perfect. So let's talk a little bit about the individual players involved. And of course, the first one is the man who, amazingly enough, didn't really have a position when Brett Bielema shows up. And somehow, you know, a year later ends up being somebody that's being talked about anywhere between optimistically the first round and the third round, which is pretty darn amazing. So talk to us a little bit about safety Kirby Joseph.
It's amazing, Mike. You'll see a piece coming out on Illini Guys this afternoon where he walks into Brett Bielema's office this past January, puts his hand out and says, "Coach Kirby Joseph, I'm happy to meet you." And Brett looks at the roster and goes, "Kirby Joseph. Oh yeah, Kirby Joseph." Like, there was no like, "Oh, I'm excited to be here at Illinois because Kirby Joseph's on my roster." And now he's a potential guy that could go in the second round of this NFL draft, just because of how impressive he looked and the coaches and the media all agreed that how impressive he looked in the 2021 season by naming him a first team All Big Ten selection. He is impressive in the sense that he was impressive in the positional drills, which is all he did on Friday. But you could see guys from the Giants walking up and talking to him. You could see guys from, I saw the Bears guy walking up and talking to him. If you have a pick somewhere in that second round, you're thinking about Kirby Joseph right now. And especially if you came to Champaign, you're looking to try to build that relationship with Kirby Joseph and his representation. He's just exploded on the sense of being able to, Kirby is somebody who, and this is something I still appreciate about the draft process. The idea is that I thought I saw something on PFF that he has less than, you know, four, I think it's 400 snaps of defensive action on tape, but they have enough tape on Kirby that they know everything translates, you know, the speed. Yep. He hasn't run a 40. Speed translates. I'm sorry. It just does. His change of direction and when in the positional drills that he did, even with a bum ankle injury that he's going through, it all translates. And so, You talk about somebody who made the decision to go from wide receiver to safety and trusted in Ryan Walters and trusted in Brett Bielema, and now it's paying off because he could be the highest drafted Illinois player since 2016. And quite frankly, Kirby Joseph is a big part of the reason why there was a lot of buzz around Pro Day and the fact that there was 31 pro guys there. I mean, he's the guy that, again, if you're trying to get that second round guy that you know that you can maybe plug and play next year as a rookie, Kirby Joseph might be your guy.
Yeah,
and there's upside, Mike. I'm sorry. Like, I don't mean to sound like a draft guy, but I don't think Kirby Joseph played his best football that he's going to play in his life at Illinois. And Brett Bielema said as much on Friday when I talked to him.
Yeah, he was one that I have to admit, sitting in the press box at the Nebraska game and watching the way he breaks on the ball and watching how he just had a high IQ. He was around the action all day long. And I kept thinking to myself, how did I miss this guy? I mean, this guy's fantastic. Where has he been? And that was my thought, you know, as somebody there I was like, that was total whiff, but you know, he has definitely put himself into, put himself in a great place. The other thing you think about is he's actually now giving these other players an opportunity to get looked at that had Kirby Joseph not been here this year, the pro day might've been attended by five people, you know, and maybe the Darian Lowe or somebody like that, Blake Hayes, doesn't get looked at that one extra time that gets them drafted or even signing a free agent contract. And it's a little bit like Darren Williams, you know, got discovered when people were looking at his teammate who ended up playing at Indiana, who just disappeared out of my mind right now, the guard.
Gracie Wright.
Yeah, Brett, thank you. Yep, and it, you know, if Mr. Wright hadn't been around, Illinois wouldn't have had Darren Williams, and that's incredible that, you know, that he's able to help some of these other guys get that additional spotlight. The other thing is you had an opportunity to do an exclusive interview that no one else in the industry had an opportunity to do. On a personal level, I've always thought listening to him being interviewed, he was very engaging. Mm-hmm. What did you find as you were going through and kind of talking to him? Because you got a lot of details about his past, et cetera. What was he like to interview?
He's a guy that recognizes that he comes from a high school where 66% of the kids are what they call financially disadvantaged, which for lack of a better term is poor. And while the graduation rate at that high school is at 91%. I think it was 17%, something around there, are ready for college, you know, when they graduate, in terms of their coursework. So everything was stuck against Kirby Joseph when he was at his high school in the Orlando area, was able to make it out of that situation. And he's a guy that has a appreciation for understanding, one, the work that it was going to take to put into this to get him to where he is now, and understanding where a lot of the people who end up in his situation and in his, you know, his area of Orlando, they don't get the opportunity that he's already gotten and that he will get over the next few months and potentially, hopefully, several years as an NFL player. So a guy that I think I never want to, you know, peg this because I don't know these people 100%.
Right.
And I don't even know Kirby Joseph all that well after this, but I know him better than I did when I arrived at Irwin on Friday morning. You would think from a character standpoint, just somebody that I don't think NFL people have to worry about in terms of, you know, having to baby monitor on a 24/7 basis. And I was also just impressed, and I want to make this very clear, Kirby Joseph had a lot of people, and he recognizes this and told me this, he had a lot of people around him in his situation in his Orlando area that made his process, I don't want to say easier, but he had a lot of people that were willing to help him get to where he wanted to go, and if he was willing to put the work in, and that part of the equation has never been a problem for Kirby. A lot of kids don't have a lot of people around them willing to put the time and the effort into putting together somebody like Kirby Joseph. And it just paid off immensely once Brett Bielema became the head coach at the University of Wisconsin or the University of Illinois and Ryan Walters got hired as the defensive coordinator. So all of the things got put into place for Kirby Joseph to succeed. And then on the back end of it, he's never had a problem with work. And so he's doing everything he can. He feels terrible that he's not running a 40. Everybody in professional football is telling him, and this is true, this is very much true, Mike. I heard Dominic Foxworth, who does now for ESPN, yep, was on Bomani Jones's podcast. And he told him the one and only time he's ever run a 40 in his life was right before the draft. Never had to do it again in the rest of his life.
Yep.
He feels bad, Kirby Joseph, meaning that he's not going to probably run a 40 unless you want to do a private workout with him. And a lot of pro guys are just shaking their head going, we don't care. We could care less. A lot of people make a big deal about it. It ends up being one of the more overrated things that are put together on the draft because, Mike, it looks great on television on NFL Network.
Right, right. Well, and when you see it on the field and you don't see any gaps in his speed to play football, you don't really have to worry about it. I will say one thing and then we'll move on to the next player. But Kirby Joseph was a guy who, if he had been here for another year or two, he was going to move into one of my favorite player statuses up there with one of my favorites of all time, Craig Swope, because they played with such heart and such, you just love it because they're always in the middle of everything. Mm-hmm. So I was very, very, I'm happy for him going to the NFL and I hope he goes out and has a fantastic career. I was sad for us as Illini fans because I'd have loved to have seen him around for one more year. Because I think he would have done some great things.
So were Brett Bielema and Ryan Walters. Yep. But on the back end of that, Mike, if Kirby Joseph ends up being a second-round pick, the long-term play there is it's great for Illinois football, and it's great for Illini football. Because
he might be the kind of IO, so to speak.
Yes, and he's the kind of guy program that says, hey, look, we can produce guys like that. And so they're pushing him to the nth degree to get drafted as high as he is because it just helps Illinois football 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the line.
Yeah, totally understand that. So the next individual that we're going to talk about, defensive back Tony Adams.
The best pro day of anybody at Illinois. I mean, it's amazing. I was told by Tank Wright before we started on Friday morning, Tony's going to run a sub 4.4. And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like,
yeah, exactly. You know,
and I was like, whatever, man. And I just thought he was kidding with me. And then I walk over and I go, and then when he ran his first 40 and I looked over at somebody I was just standing next to and I said, what did you have? And he goes 4.38. And I was like, yeah, I thought I was fast. He goes on my clicker here. He goes, no, it's a sub 4.4. And I don't know why he ran it again. Like he ran the 40 twice after he ran a 4.38. But that was impressive. He's 6 feet tall, Mike. I mean, and I don't know what he measured at because they don't do the measure and the weights in front of us. They used to do that at Auburn. They don't do that with us. I imagine he probably didn't measure in at 6 feet, which is what he was listed on the Illinois roster. I'm sure he's actually a little bit smaller than that.
Yep.
41 and a half vertical leap, which means to me, like I watched him go like, oh, wow, you could just easily dunk a basketball flat footed if you really wanted to. Like he's that athletic. He was very, very good in the positional drills. He opened some eyes to, I think he was going to get an undrafted free agent opportunity. I would not be shocked if you start seeing some buzz around Tony Adams in the late round possibility, like maybe middle to late sixth round, you know, seventh round possibility, simply because the speed plays. He's not a big guy, but if you need a nickel corner, which everybody in the NFL needs, because you're not really playing with three linebackers anymore, trying to cover guys, his speed plays. And if you need a guy that can be a gunner on a punt team, Tony Adams is your guy. And so they worry about his sleight of frame because he's still about only like 160, 165 pounds at best. And I think that's why he could end up, you know, being an undrafted free agent type situation. But he didn't do anything but elevate himself in pro day. And he did it with what I call the track and field events.
Yep.
But sometimes when you're not allowed to, this is the thing that makes pro day great for guys like Tony Adams. He isn't invited to the combine. So everybody like Brett Bielema can say, hey, he's really, really fast. But until you put a number by that really, really fast, NFL guys just kind of roll their eyes.
Yeah, and you got to have a number that an NFL guy was there to witness.
Right, and yeah, and 438 is a number where they go, okay, that plays. That absolutely plays. When you do a 41.5 vertical leap, which would have been the second highest of anybody who was invited to the combine, that plays. And I think he even did somewhere in the neighborhood of 15, 16, 17 – even at 160 pounds, did 115, 16, 17 reps of 225 on the bench. So he's not weak. And so, yeah, Tony Adams had a good day and arguably, I think, had the best day of anybody there.
Yeah, he had 14,
yep,
according to that, which, yep, is just, yeah, amazing. Just some unbelievable numbers. Because they actually – he must have run a 4.34 additionally in one of those other runs.
Yeah, it was one of those, but I don't know if it plays, like, for whatever, yeah, reason. I think the 4.38 is what will stick.
Yep. Okay.
And so, because I mean, it wasn't wind aided; it was indoors.
Yeah. But like, exactly. You know,
but I the 4.38 will stick, and it's fine. That's a number that he can put up and say, okay.
Can he catch?
Well, he did fine in the drills because they
I'm just saying that when you can run like that, you know, there may be somebody who says, well, let's just split him out there in the slot. And
I'll be interested to see if there's anybody that wants to know if he can catch a punt, you know.
Yeah,
I mean?
Oh yeah,
do that, you know. And so there's an opportunity there for him as well. So there's a lot of questions that are now being asked of Tony Adams that weren't being asked before Friday morning.
That's great to hear. Now, the next person is one of the guys that I still remember when he committed because I was excited about it and he had a good career. Owen Carney Jr., how did he do on pro day?
OC was very happy with what he did. It's a catch 22 in the sense that they have 2 years of tape of Owen Carney being a disruptive force as a pass rusher.
Yep.
But they wanted numbers that say, okay, if you stand him up at outside linebacker, is he fast enough? Is he strong enough? Does his change of direction work for us in whatever defense we want to run? I thought he had a good day. I thought he put himself in a conversation to maybe be drafted, if not be a very valuable, undrafted free agent prospect, which I can tell you sometimes is a better option for guys because then they get to pick the camp that they want to go to and have a better chance of getting, you know,
exactly
a opportunity to be one of the 53. But he put himself in a situation where he definitely belonged on that field and he verified a lot of things that he's already put on tape. So he had a very, very positive day. I'm sure that some NFL guys would have liked a little bit better physical track and field numbers, but I thought he confirmed a lot of what people see on tape.
Excellent. Yeah. Cause he's another guy that was so thankful he came back this, mm-hmm, year, and it would be great to see that work out for him. Another Illini player who was involved in pro day was Brandon Peters. Hopefully he's feeling better. I know he was dinged up during football season throughout the season. How did he do on pro day, Matt?
It's interesting. The first thing I noticed about, and I put it on the notebook that's on Illini guys on our boards, a slimmer, thinner, I would say, you know, more quick twitchy Brandon Peters that I saw. Funny part about it was I kind of went back in my notes, Mike, and when I saw Brandon in fall camp and he was fully healthy, it's the same thing I wrote, where this guy looks thinner, more quick twitchy, kind of, you know,
yep,
you know, just an overall body type that was a little bit different. And I think I actually walked up to Brandon the first time and I said, hey, did you lose a little weight? Or did you change your body type a little bit? And I think he told me he did. This is very typical for Brandon. I think you're starting to see that out of the quarterback position, Mike. I think you're starting to see guys go toward, you know, the Tom Brady type body type of, you know, I don't know how everybody's doing the unusual Tom Brady diet, but I think they're keeping their body chemistry in a similar way. And I used to think that quarterbacks needed to be a little bit bigger just to absorb the punishment. I think that guys now are starting to realize that, you know, body mass index can be actually a little bit lighter and that could help us help them. It didn't help Brandon obviously stay healthy this past season. That was never going to be something he was going to be able to answer Friday during pro day. What he can answer is, and I think that this is relevant, is Brandon. So Brandon runs almost a sub 4.8 40. And if I remember correctly, he might've run a sub. I think I put it out there, but I don't remember exactly what he ran. It was faster than I thought Brandon would run. And I think it's faster than a lot of people thought Brandon would run. Brandon is a lot better athlete than people give him credit for. He did a very, very acceptable for a quarterback vertical leap, which I was like, oh yeah, he can dunk a basketball. So I don't know why I'm surprised by that. And, right. I thought in the positional drills, this is the thing that they always show on television when they televise guys' pro days, is they just throw the route tree.
Right.
And I mentioned this because we're not going to get to these guys because they're not draft eligible, but Brandon was very comfortable. And a lot of quarterbacks are always very comfortable during their pro day. He's throwing to his receivers. He's throwing to Isaiah Williams. He's throwing to Brian Hightower. He's throwing to Casey Washington. A new NCAA rule allows them to help out Brandon by being a receiver. They can't talk to NFL guys and they can't do any of the track and field stuff and get times recorded in front of pro guys, but they can help out Brandon in positional drills. And they really did. Doug Kramer being his center half the time, or more than half the time, because Jack Bogoviak wanted to be a center, that helped out Brandon. It put him in a situation where he felt comfortable, and he was able to make a lot of throws today. And I do think Brandon will get an opportunity to go to a camp and get an opportunity to show what he's made of. And if he can stay healthy, there's an opportunity there for him to show the arm talent that he really wanted to show at some point at Illinois when he had ever been 100% healthy for 12 games.
Yeah. And there's a guy who, like I said, we never got a chance to see him. And even the same with Sikowski, you know, we really never got a chance to see either of those guys healthy. And it kind of is a cautionary warning to fans when you start ripping on kids and you don't know what their injury status is. You sometimes feel kind of bad about it when you're done and you find out that they were out there playing with an injured shoulder or a, you know, bum knee, et cetera. And both those players, I thought, earned their stripes as being tough guys out there, you know, going through some pretty tough injuries and yet managing to play. And
yeah. And I think that Brandon, like, kind of, I don't think he, you know, eliminates the label of pocket passer, because that's what he is.
Yep.
But when coaches were always saying, you know, Brandon's a better athlete and a better runner than you give him credit for being, this is what they were talking about today. And these track and field deals were able to have him at least show people with physical numbers, hey, I'm a little bit better athlete than people gave me credit for. And being a three sport athlete coming out of high school in Indiana, that should have shown out, and it did.
Yep. So what about the two guys snapping him the ball? How did they do?
Doug Kramer looked really, really good. I thought he was obviously going to show what he could do in a bench press situation in terms of strength and power. He also, I thought, did really, really well in some other track and field stuff, which I didn't think Doug was going to do. I think there's another guy where I think athletically Doug didn't get the kind of credit that he was deserved, just because of maybe how the center position is perceived.
Yep.
But Doug's a really good athlete. And so I thought he did really well there. I thought he did really well in his individual position drills, because he had somebody to go against in Jack Bogoviak.
Yep.
Who we'll get to there, is trying to convince NFL guys, hey, bring me to a camp because I can play guard and center, which I think can allow a guy like Jack and a guy like Doug, because we know Doug can play guard
right.
too as well. There's an opportunity there for them to get invited into camp and then maybe end up on a practice squad, because they have value as an interior offensive lineman at three different positions, the two guard spots and center. And so yep. Jack's trying to convince people of that during this pro day, and I think he did a really good job of it. Brandon didn't have any problems with him out of the gun or under center when they were doing positional drills, and Jack looked really, really good in terms of what he was able to do athletically. Another guy that I think they thought was just this block football, yep, blocker, block body type of deal, he had a really, really good day in terms of some of the track and field stuff, physical fitness test stuff that used to do in high school. So I thought they had a really decent day. I thought they confirmed that they have the opportunity to you know, be a versatile interior offensive lineman. And for Doug, I think that he'll get an opportunity as a former walk-on at Illinois to potentially make an NFL roster or at least get invited to a training camp. And I'm excited for him because I think he has the opportunity. And those are two guys that are getting sold by the coaching staff really, really well because of their football intelligence, their overall intelligence, their maturity, and their leadership skills while they were here.
Excellent. That's good to hear. Now we had three wide receivers, Isaiah Williams, Casey Washington, and Brian Hightower, who were able to run routes. Now you talked about there were some limitations. They couldn't run, they couldn't do any of the track and field things to be timed by the NFL people, but they were able to run routes and the NFL people could see what the speed looks like. And those guys, trust me, they have a pretty good eye test.
If anybody had Brandon Peters help, like if Brandon Peters' route tree helped anybody, it was Isaiah Williams and Brian Hightower. There's not enough tape on them yet to know what they are. But NFL guys were literally looking at me going, like they were literally writing down notes because this is a multi-year process for a lot of these guys. And they'll have multi-year notes on certain NFL on Illinois receivers when they come back, and if they can put tape together in this 2022 season, that will be impressive.
Okay, good. Well, that's, like I said, providing a route to the NFL is important to smart recruits. Mm-hmm. And so that is a great thing to see. Now, Vidarian Lowe, we've talked about him, one of the great stories in college football. How did he do, in front of the scouts?
His positional drills were fine. It's just individual stuff with him and Jack and Doug. You weren't going to learn that much. And he only did the bench press because he did everything else at the combine the week before in Indy. He ran, he did everything else. So he just decided to do bench. His wife and him probably are going to get a little testy with me. I would have liked to have seen him do a little bit more than 21 reps on the bench.
Yep.
But he's more of a basketball type athlete at the offensive tackle position. It's not about trying to, be mean and tear somebody's, interior cruciate ligament up. Like it's about him being kind of, quick twitchy as far as an offensive lineman can go. And if it's so fun to watch this because NFL scouts are now learning everything that we know about Velo, which is, and he said it as much. He is really enjoying the interview process because GMs and scouts and are starting to learn exactly who he is, and that's already him being a professional. You talk about somebody who's got a wife, got a baby. You're drafting when you win, and I firmly believe that Velo will get drafted. I don't know what round that will be, but I firmly believe he will get drafted. And the reason is that when you're looking for somebody to provide offensive line depth to your professional football team, you and he said it as much, you want them to know that they're drafting a professional and they're drafting a mature human being. Mike, you know this. If the University of Illinois and Josh Whitman could put anybody in front of people to represent the athletic department, Velo was really at the top of the list of all sports. And so in terms of character, in terms of maturity, and in terms of football intelligence, and then what he was able to accomplish in the 1 year when Brett Bielema took over and then Bart Miller took over that offensive line, I thought Velo did a really, really good job of even taking his draft stock even higher by proving that in one of the Power Five conferences, he could be relied on at left tackle for a 13-game season. And he did so, or 12th or 13-game season, and he did so this year at Illinois. So I fully expect Velo to get drafted. He didn't do much during pro day except talk to a whole bunch of NFL teams. And I know NFL teams are really excited about talking with him because it's a mature professional conversation that they're having with a very, very young man.
Well, and the neat thing about that is if you're in a position where you can talk to the scouts, that's generally a good thing, because that means you're not dependent upon everything.
Usually, and usually it's window dressing, but I thought his agent who was there did a really good, really smart thing, because Velo's wife showed up to watch Tim do nothing, essentially physically. And you could see NFL guys walk over and talk to his wife, because they want to know all about these guys. I mean, these guys hire, you know, personal detectives, like personal investigators on some of these guys that they're going to draft. You don't need to do that with Velo. Like, they just walked up, talked to his wife, and they get an idea of what kind of man he is and what kind of human being he is. And then I know that they're all relatively very impressed with how he conducts himself. And I think that's going to produce somebody I think that will get drafted in the late rounds, just because of his physical skills are already on tape and they're already in front of people. The interview process, especially what he did last week in Indianapolis, is really not only helping him, but I think it's really helping the University of Illinois. And it's helping Brett Bielema, because he can point to Velo and say, that's the kind of character that we're, and the kind of culture we're building here at the U of I.
Yeah. And there's a lot of intangibles as to why people would root for Velo beyond being just an Illini product, and it's great to see him do well. And it's also nice as an employer not to have to give them the speech about if there's anything that happens after midnight, it's never good, and you don't have to worry about him being out after midnight. You've got a guy that you know that he's working hard, and when he goes home, he goes home, and he goes, you know, and he spends the night with his family and goes to bed. There is a certain peace that professional athletic coaches and trainers have when they know that they don't have to worry about some of the other things in life affecting the players. So that's good for Vedarian as well. Now, Mr. Tolson, I did not realize, I thought he was taller than 5'11". So 5'11", 225 pounds. How did he do at the pro day?
He's listed at Illinois at 6 feet.
Okay.
No, like, sorry, no. But he is, he has value. And what I mean by that is he has value to potentially bring into a camp. And what and it was so, I thought, intelligent what he did, which was he did the defensive back drills with Kirby Joseph and Tony Adams. And I was caught off guard by that, because I've always seen Kalon, you know, at the second level of defense at linebacker. And I'm sure that he would love to play linebacker, because from an X's and O's standpoint, that's what he knows. But from an athlete standpoint, at 5'11 and 220 pounds, guess what? You might have to play safety in the NFL. You might have to be a special teams guy. How about this? You might have to play H-back or a fullback type situation and come out of the backfield, which he said that he's willing to work at privately for NFL teams as well.
Yep.
So he is trying to convince every NFL people, please bring me to your camp. I don't care where you want to play me. Like, there are a lot of places my body type will allow me to play. I'm trying to convince you athletically that I'm able to do it. I thought he did a really admirable job of trying to convince people Friday that he is potentially that type of athlete. I think people think Kalon Tolson and they see this beer keg type body with no neck.
Yep. Yep.
And they go, well, that can't be a great athlete. That's just a good football player. He spent the last few months trying to convince people that, one, he's fully healthy. His injury history was not going to be something that he was going to change the minds of Friday. It just is what it is.
Right, right.
Secondly, though, he said, I'm a better athlete than you give me credit for. And I think they put out on Twitter what his numbers were. And when you run a sub 4.6, 40, I mean, that doesn't put you in the top category of safeties, but it puts you in a category that allows people to think, well, if we have to put you out there, you deserve to be out there. You're not out of your element there. So, it's a tough sell for Kalon, just because athletically, and I think body type wise, he's just not a linebacker at the next level. And I think he knows it, but I think he's trying everything he can to, get invited to a camp, and he's doing everything the right way. And I thought and a lot of the, again, what I call the physical fitness, the track and field stuff, I thought he did a really, really good job of putting numbers down that were going to make people look.
Yep. That's good. That's good. Isaiah Gay, how did he do?
Isaiah Gay is everything that the NFL scouts thought he was, which is a basketball player and in a football body. I mean, you talk about somebody that doesn't have the kind of tape, except for maybe the last half of this last year.
Yeah, he became very valuable then, yeah.
Absolutely, that he can be that kind of disruptor as a stand-up outside linebacker. But you put him in a situation where he runs in front of you. He has that long, leggy, army body. It's just he's physically gifted, and he just hasn't been able to put it all together on a football field from a comfort standpoint. I think you look at him again, and if you're an NFL guy, you look at what he did again in the track and field stuff yesterday at Pro Day, and you sit here and you think, if the light ever turns on, my God, we've got ourselves one heck of a prospect here. And so I think he did a really good job of doing that. I thought he was really, really – I thought he was decently impressive in the bench press, which I thought was going to be his, you know, weakness of the day. But everything that they thought he was going into that is exactly what he turned out to be on Friday. And sometimes confirming what everybody believes you are is just as good as surprising people on a day. Yeah. So that's what Isaiah did, I thought.
So I got two other people I want to talk about and get your thoughts on. One is probably the unspoken star of that of today or yesterday, Friday, was Tank Wright. It looks like he had his players in shape and ready to go to put their best foot forward. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, a lot of those guys were going to Texas and Florida to do that. What I thought Tank Wright did an excellent job of was there was an organization, there was a rhythm to how things worked. It's the first pro day I've been to where I show up at 10:30 and we're done by 2:00. And I mean, that's not going to help the NFL, the Illini guys get drafted. But what it does do is it tells NFL guys, hey, these guys are on top of things. These guys have a plan. These guys have a schedule. There's no dilly-dallying. There's no, you know, hey, what are we doing here kind of thing. There's no side jokes about, you know, yeah, great. You know, this is a college. This is clearly a college deal going on here. I didn't feel that way. I thought Tank had a really, really good day. And I think that he impressed a lot of people who I think he's just completing his first year as the strength and conditioning coach at the U of I. And I know that a lot of people were looking to see how he runs things. It's also represents the last day of the winter conditioning program for Illinois football. So you had a whole bunch of guys, teammates that were out there that were, you know, happy to be done with winter conditioning, but pro day usually represents the end of winter conditioning. And so there was just a rhythm of what happened at Irwin on Friday, and Tank's a major part of that.
Yeah. And I guess there's one other attendee that I'd like you to talk a little bit about. And you didn't know I was going to bring this up, but Coach Ben Miller was there, and he is going through some very challenging times. Why don't you give us a little bit? Cause I thought it was great that he chose to attend under some rough circumstances.
Yeah, we've documented a couple of days ago on Illini Guys that he's been diagnosed with colon cancer. We believe that they've caught it early. I'm not a doctor, and I don't know his medical situation at all. We believe he's caught it early enough to where he's said that he's taking a temporary leave of absence while he does chemotherapy, which means at least, you know, in the near future, it means he just won't be around for spring ball.
Yep.
I don't know what that means for the fall, but let's see where he goes through. He hasn't even started, I don't think, chemotherapy yet. But it was great. He brought his three children, his two daughters and his son, to Pro Day. Brett Bielema was very, very emotional talking about it a few days ago when the news broke that he had been diagnosed with colon cancer. And because Ben was one of the first assistants that Brett hired. Ben's been to Illinois before as a graduate. Yep. I think it was a graduate assistant or a off-field assistant for Ron Zook, and then spent over a decade at Air Force. But it's a situation where he was one of Bielema's first hires when he got the job, and it was great. It was one of the neatest things I saw. It was that he walked in, and I didn't know Ben was going to be there, and a lot of players who were just kind of around, you know, Keith Randolph, Isaiah Williams, some other, like Michael Marques, who's going to come back as a tight end. You know, those guys are really, you know, they love Ben. And yep. And you wouldn't think, well, he's just a tight ends coach. Well, he's also the special teams coordinator. So he's got guys from a whole bunch of different position groups that know Ben. They know who he is. They've worked with him. They like his personality. It seems like he's got a long road ahead of him, but there is a road back for this. It's not, you know, a completely dire situation. And he seems in great spirits. So, and he seems physically, you would know that he has it if he hadn't announced it himself. So it wasn't like he looked, you know, unhealthy, like deathly thin or anything like that. Let's see where he looks like after chemotherapy. But he's got a lot of people rooting for him. And, I just like the idea that they have announced it like it's a temporary leave of absence, and we could see Ben Miller back on the field pretty soon, because I know I talked to him a little bit, you know, off drills and things that were going on. And he seemed very encouraged by the idea that this was going to go well, and he was going to have it, and he was going to be, you know, among millions of people around the world that are now cancer survivors. So
it was a great thing.
And you had a whole bunch of, you know, big macho football players that got a little emotional watching Ben walk in the building with his three kids.
Yeah. Well, that's good to see. You know, obviously our hearts, thoughts, and prayers go out to him, and would encourage other Illini guys, subscribers and listeners to this to, you know, include him on your list. It's something that we want to see him pull through, and it'll be fantastic if he can also maybe share some of this with those players and give them some life experiences, so that when later in life, when they have to deal with that, maybe they can help somebody else get through a tough patch as well. These are the type of things that coaches do more than is on your list of responsibilities, and the players will be better for this, and hopefully coach will be back around feeling great, and it'll be just a story that he talks about, and he can be one of those millions and millions of people out there who are cancer survivors.
Hey Mike, can I talk about two other guys from Brodie?
Go ahead.
We as I always say, punters are people too.
And Blake was not in, you know what, but I totally missed Blake.
I put it in as additionally on that same thread that you're looking at.
I feel bad because he was such a stud for us this year, last few years.
Let me start with James McCourt, because it was like a video game. The guy, the scout that was literally behind him when they were doing field goal drills. And understand, this is indoor from like 60 yards out. And he's yelling at him top left, because if you take – I don't know how to explain this in an audio perspective, but I'm going to do my best. If you take that square that is, if you make a field goal, like between the uprights, you can break it into four quadrants, top left, top right, bottom left, bottom right. And he is screaming at him right before he goes to kick. This is the quadrant you need to kick it in. This is, again, from 60 yards out indoors. And I thought, again, like you would think with James and his huge leg that he has, he did a really good job. His kickoffs were extraordinary. I mean, everybody kind of looked at it and went, oh, that's an automatic touchback. And so I thought he did a really good job. I think he's going to get the opportunity to be invited to a camp. And Illinois just has a history of being able to produce NFL kickers, Chase McLaughlin being the most recent and current. I think James is going to get a shot. I really do.
Good.
The most interesting thing was, so they get to Blake Hayes and he says to the scouts, he says, I have an option here. I can either kick it all the way to the roof every time, or we can go outside. And understand, Mike, yesterday, Friday in Champaign-Urbana, it was 25 degrees with 15 and 20 mile an hour wind gusts. I promise you.
Yep.
And all the NFL guys kind of looked around and went, we're really going to do this outside. And I'll be darned if they didn't. The last thing they did in Pro Day at 2 o'clock in the afternoon was have all these guys go out to the stadium at Memorial Stadium and watch Blake Hayes kick in 15 mile an hour winds in 25 degree weather. Because Mike, I can tell you as a golfer, ball doesn't fly as far. I don't care what athletic ball it is in cold weather.
Yep.
And so you're Blake Hayes was convinced that if I can convince you that not only my accuracy doesn't go down in cold weather, as you saw on tape over his multiple years at Illinois, but my power is there in a 25 degree day, kicking into the wind half the time as well, because I'm going to do that in front of you. And anybody that's been to Memorial Stadium knows that that wind swirls in that darn stadium.
Yes.
And so Blake was adamant that I'd like to go outside and teach you and show you guys what I can do outside in the elements, so that you have an idea of how my leg translates to if and when you want to bring me into a camp and make me your starting punter. I do think Blake Hayes will get an opportunity to be a starting punter or to win a job in a camp, because as we all know, the specialists, you know, don't have an opportunity usually to get drafted unless there's a really big hype around you.
Yep.
And just because you didn't get drafted doesn't mean you're not going to be a kicker in the NFL, and you're not going to be one of those, what I call clown car Monday guys, where they bring you in on Monday and maybe they'll sign you on Tuesday, and suddenly then on Sunday you're kicking in an NFL game. So
yep.
I do think those two guys have the opportunity to at least do that, if not more. And I thought that both of those guys were really impressive, along with, and he did all of the track and field stuff too. I think Ethan Tabell's going to get invited to a camp as a long snapper. And I thought a lot of people were impressed with him. He has a personality that is just fun and kind of out there. As you would expect a kicker or a punter or a long snapper to kind of be out there mentally. And he's again, somebody I don't think you have to really worry about getting in trouble, of course. And so I think he's going to get an opportunity as well. He was very, very impressive. So,
well, Ethan's got a template out there. You know, Mike Morris was the long snapper for the Vikings for a decade, and now he's a talk radio host at KFAN and has been doing that since the, I don't know, late 90s, and has been very successful. He actually did that while he was still a player and jumped into talk radio, and he's nuts. And he puts on a pretty good talk show. So maybe there's a long-term career in this. And of course the Cowboys need a kicker and a punter. So I'll have to send a copy of this to Jerry Jones, because although he may be a little bit busy with other things right now, but the bottom line is they could use a good kicker and punter. And I could really adjust to seeing our two former Illini kicking and punting for the Cowboys.
It's amazing you mentioned that, because if there's anybody that Ethan reminds me of, honestly, it's Pat Manley, who was a Bears long snapper for 15 years. And guess what? In the podcast world, in the audio world, in the media world we live in, Pat Manley's doing stuff for WSCR and doing stuff for Chicago radio all over the city.
Yep.
And because he's entertaining, he's funny, he's got a good personality, and he's kind of nuts. Like, he's honestly, admittedly, he's kind of nuts. And Ethan's the same way. It was one of my favorite interviews at the U of I. I think he's going to get a shot. So I didn't want to leave the specialists out of there, punters or people too. Yep. And yep. I thought they had a really, really good day. And anytime, I don't know if he just did this just to screw with them, or I hope for me, and knowing my personality, Mike, as you do, I hope this was the case that he was just kind of trying to screw with them. I was really kind of hoping Blake was just doing this to get the 31 NFL guys to go outside in 25 degree weather and be uncomfortable for a little bit. Like, you know, I don't like this indoor stuff. Like, this isn't how we roll here in the Midwest and in Central Illinois. How about we just go outside, actually do some football stuff? And
he's got a story he can tell everybody. You know what I mean?
Right. And I also want to point out, and he's going to get mad at me for this, but because it was flip-flop Friday, Bielema did not join everybody outside. Let me be very clear about that. So he did not watch his punter perform very, very well in front of NFL people. It was an interesting day. I hope there's an argument to be made that over the years, the punter at Illinois has gotten the most pub of the football program. And Blake Hayes has deserved a lot of it. And I think he'll get an opportunity at the next level.
Well, that's good. That is a great wrap up of what went on. Of course, the advantage for folks who subscribe to Illini Guys is on an event like this, You know, we had Larry Smith and Brad Sturdy covering the Illini over in Indianapolis. Matt is here, was here in Champaign covering it. And then I was coordinating everything on the website from my home. So we were able to kind of get some of these things covered. It's good sometimes to have multiple writers who are very talented at what they do, and they can go give the Illini fans an up close and personal look at what's going on in Illini athletics. Any other things that we need to add to that, Matt, or did we cover everything that you saw?
The only thing I'll add, and this is hopefully giving Illini fans a lot of hope, there were a lot of guys in attendance who, let's just say, were Illinois football players that I think scouts were very, very interested in being able to see over the next few years. Keith Randolph stood there and watched everybody. I think everybody is physically impressed when Keith Randolph walks into a building.
Yep.
Johnny Newton was there. Everybody's impressed when Johnny Newton walks into a building. And so there are guys that are coming down the pipeline at Illinois that people are very, very excited about in terms of professional people. I also don't want to leave out, because this is the second week he's been able to do this without being able to do anything physical because of his injury limitations. Jake Hansen was talking to all the NFL guys. I do think he's going to get an opportunity based off the 5 years of tape that he's put together at Illinois under Lovie Smith and under Ryan Walters.
Yep.
In two different types of schemes. It'll be interesting to see if Jake figures out a way to privately work out with anybody before the draft, if that's possible. If it's not possible, I do think he'll get a camp invite. It's just unfortunate that because of the injury situation that came about for him at the end of this year, he's not able to do anything physical. I think there's a lot of guys that would want to put numbers toward Jake.
Yep.
To verify what they've seen on film. So with Jake, you got to go by the film. And you got to trust your eyes and trust the film. I think a lot of NFL guys will do that, which is why I think Jake will get an opportunity. It's just taken me this long to mention Jake Hansen because he just hasn't been able to do anything physically, not only when he was invited to the combine last week in Indy, but Friday at Pro Day as well.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much, folks. If you are thinking about subscribing to IlliniGuys.com, go to IlliniGuys.com. It is $99 a year. The important thing is the message boards. A lot of this information was on the message boards that's behind the paywall that our subscribers could read. Matt has added some additional comments to add to the flavor of it. But if you were an Illini Guys subscriber, you could have actually gotten Matt's thoughts as these things happen during the day. So there is an advantage to subscribing to IlliniGuys.com. The other thing is we do have other podcasts besides Eye on the Illini. We also have Sturdy for 30. That's Brad Sturdy, the longtime Uber Illini insider. His podcast where he interviews people from Illinois, the Illinois programs, also from other media contacts that he has and other ex-players, former players. Brad's been doing this for over 20 years. So basically he's old and he has a lot of contacts that he can leverage for some very entertaining podcasts. We also have Ked's Recruiting Roundup, where Ked talks to recruits, their coaches, their parents, gives you the opposite side of the recruiting picture. And it's fascinating to listen to what people are doing. And it's a good learning if you have a Division I capable player as a child. Might be worth listening to that podcast as well. And of course, we have the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That is our two-hour weekly radio event that is on Fridays or Saturdays across the state of Illinois. You can go to IlliniGuys.com, click on the radio button. You will get the 25 stations and what times and what days they have the show on. Please feel free to tune in and listen. We would love to have more listeners there as well. Of course, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give a 5-star review. And we will talk to you as we do our bracketology that will be coming up. And we will be analyzing what is going on, where the Illini were picked, and what we expect out of this 2022 NCAA basketball tournament. Go Illini!